Did you guys see the that one ref in hockey make that incredible goal?
A ref made a goal?
Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go.
So this goal was a beauty. Just check.
Oh no.
All right, the Blues hit it.
Oh,
in there.
How did that go? We not get that.
Shazam.
Sign him. Sign him. Give him a contract.
What a start to the game.
Did it hit off his head?
No, it was right in the place that you don't want to get hit.
Oh, the balls. That sucks.
But it was a beautiful shot. Check this out.
Shaboing! Ooh!
And that team, we're
in there. It was like a
help him and his
shot.
Wife didn't want kids because sorry, bud. Cup or not, it's over. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Close to the screen, Zach.
It's your boys locked down. We're back. We are back for episode 8, right?
Yes, it is episode 8.
Episode 08. Oh, shoot. We are moving and grooving, folks. Hey, speaking of people that are moving and grooving, the LA Chargers put on a show last night against arguably the AFC's hottest offense. Dang, I honestly didn't see that ending coming, but should this be a testament that we need to stop doubting Phillip Rivers, you know?
I don't know about that one. I mean, Phillip Rivers is an incredible quarterback. He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame. He's great, but he's never proven that he could win at the highest level in the NFL. He hasn't proven that yet. I think he's great. But I think the bigger story here is that everybody forgot that the coach of the Chiefs is a perennial loser. Andy Reid is literally a loser. He's like,
Matt, what do you do?
He's the poster boy of mismanaging the clock and making bad defensive decisions in the final 2 minutes of games. Almost every single year he's been a head coach, he's made an incredibly boneheaded decision, in the playoffs at least, to get his team eliminated. And again last night, at the end of the game, the two last plays, you know who he has on Mike Williams in the red zone? The guy that was killing them. He has single coverage at the 1 yard line, and he has an undrafted rookie guarding Mike Williams, and then he has nobody on Mike Williams.
He was guarded by air. I mean, there was nobody there.
Well, I mean,
cover him to just take him out of the play and be like, if Travis Benjamin beats us, then you know what? Travis Benjamin beat us. Don't let Mike Williams beat you again. What an idiot.
I think this could be a testament, though, to the Chiefs' season, because they've gotten really lucky with Mahomes, where the thing I liked about watching Rivers last night was I feel like he almost figured out, you know, here's the recipe to beating the Chiefs. Keep Mahomes off the field and pick apart their secondary, especially when Eric Berry is back, but he's on a pitch count. So they took him out in the second half. And it was over. It was like target practice for Rivers. It was ridiculous. There were plays that he was making. It was like, it doesn't even look like the secondary is trying right now. So this has been a testament all season, though, that the Chiefs have been picked apart every single week on defense. But it's, you know, maybe Mahomes gets the ball with 2 minutes left in the first half, and they put up a score, and that's enough to push him into the second half. So they've gotten a lot of opportunities like that. But the Chargers have a little more experience on their offense with Rivers that I think did you guys see the video of when Mahomes made that insane touchdown in the first quarter, and he's sitting there and he's like, God damn it. It's like, it's over. We're not winning this game. But I like that, because I feel like he took that. He was like, all right, see what I have to do now. Keep that guy off the field. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like Andy Reid's an offensive mastermind, but I've never seen him have a really good defense ever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to go ahead. I hate this. I don't like being too hard on coaches. I really don't. But I don't like the whole Andy Reid as an offensive mastermind thing. I really don't like it. You know,
how so?
That offense is stacked, man. They have so much talent on that offense. They have a great off. They have an okay offensive line. But Patrick Mahomes is like a generational talent. That dude is crazy good.
But in his first year as a starter, it's really impressive what they're doing. Even though he has all the talents and the gifts that he has, it's really impressive that he's coached him up to prepare for this moment and to be like the MVP right now.
I'm just a little salty that Donovan McNabb never won a title. And I think it's his fault.
That's a 15-year wound that Matt's festering right now.
Oh, it's still going on.
Hey, you know, he could come back in the NFL and coach and win a ring. Donovan McNabb, head coach. I don't know where.
Pull a little Sean McVay on us. And
the Montreal Alouettes. The CFL. He'll have to win somewhere else. I don't know.
I don't know what McNabb's doing, but whatever he's doing, he should stick with it, which is not much. So moving on, we've got a lot of playoff implications to talk about this week. Let's start with the AFC. We'll stick with the AFC. Who do you guys see as the potential sixth seed, or even if we want to talk about it, because it's kind of wild right now in the bottom half. Who do you see getting in as the sixth seed right now?
My
you have 3 weeks left.
My hope is the Broncos, but I don't think it's going to happen. Unfortunately, that bad loss this past week to the Niners, it kind of hurt. But I have a bold prediction with this.
Oh, shoot.
I think the Steelers are going to miss the playoffs.
I have the same prediction. Yes. Thank you, Chris.
They have their next two opponents are the Patriots and the Saints, back to back. Those alone, they're going to probably lose both of those. And then I believe they end the year versus the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
but still, two losses. Could take them out.
But two losses right there, it's going to take them out. I think the Ravens are going to win the division there. And then I think the sixth seed is going to go to the Colts.
Yes, I have the same exact. Yes, nice.
I think they have the more favorable schedule. I think they'll beat the Titans in week 17. I think they're going to beat the Cowboys this week. I think they could win out.
Okay.
Andrew Luck. We'll see. I don't know. I'm excited. It's one of the tighter races in both conferences that we've seen in a long time.
Matt, who you've got to succeed?
So Andrew Luck this weekend, first off, is going to show you why he's lacking in playoff victories, because he's going to lose to Dak Prescott, and he's going to blow that game for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, my pick, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think week 17, the Colts and the Titans are basically going to be fighting for the sixth seed in the playoffs.
That's going to be a huge game.
Maybe the Broncos can get there, but I don't know. Again, they lost to Nick Mullins. I don't.
But he's too good. No, they lost to George Skittle. That dude's a beast.
So I have a question.
But yeah, I think the Titans are going to win week 17.
I have a question. The Browns are the 11th seed right now behind the Broncos, Titans, Colts, and Dolphins. Listen to me. They play Denver tomorrow night.
Loss.
Week 16, they host Cincinnati, a struggling Cincinnati team. Week 17, they're on the road in Baltimore. This Cleveland offense is something. Their defense is something. Those are three doable wins. They might be able to run the table. What are the odds that Denver, Tennessee, Indiana, and Miami, all teams prone of losing, lose two out of the next three, and Cleveland jumps in as the sixth seed, and Baltimore too, or
less
Pittsburgh.
Than five. It's like a less than 5% chance.
There's no way.
It's not likely at all.
There's no way. The Baltimore Ravens aren't losing that spot to the Cleveland Browns, my
guy. It's the Browns.
No, so I'm saying if Pittsburgh loses the next two, they'll be 7-7-1. Mm-hmm. Right now, Cleveland is 5-7-1. Mm-hmm. They'd be tied for the sixth seed going into week 17. Basically, Pittsburgh would have to lose the next three, and Cleveland has to win out with help from Denver, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Miami.
And they have to beat the Ravens week 17.
It's a possibility. It's a very small possibility, but it's the fact that we're even having this discussion that the Browns could get into the playoffs as a sixth seed, I think it's pretty awesome.
That's
awesome.
I'm
not going to lie. I love what Baker's doing with that offense.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And also about the Browns, who do you guys think should take over as the Browns head coach? because Greg Williams has been doing a fantastic job. I know
he really
I know he's his morality is questioned because the bounty gate thing in New Orleans.
Yeah,
that was a big deal. But he the players are playing hard for him, you know, and I think he's a good fit for the franchise. I honestly really do. But
is he better off as a coordinator and bringing in a head coach, and like so he still stays on the team? I don't know.
Maybe, but I don't know. Again, what is he? He's won the last three or four games with that team, and they're playing hard for him. And I like the guy. I don't know. I feel like they want to play for him.
They could go a year with him. Just test it out. Just sign him for a year. Just see how it goes.
And I think that the signs are, from what people are talking about, Mike McCarthy is going to be a big candidate this offseason for a coaching spot. I think I've talked a lot of crap about Mike McCarthy. So much crap about Mike McCarthy because him and Aaron Rodgers never really meshed well together. Possibly, if you put McCarthy at the helm in Cleveland with a young quarterback in Baker Mayfield, you might have something there. But at the same time, McCarthy's old school, and Baker's a young guy coming up, you know, from a Oklahoma offense that was very modern. So would it even work with Mike McCarthy at the helm?
You know what they should do? Bring the Oklahoma coach back and coach Baker Mayfield.
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make sense? Just,
Lincoln needs to stay in college, man, Chris.
You're just on Lincoln Riley. You really want him in the NFL, my dude.
Him in college.
I mean, he's one of the top names. It's not that I want him to come.
Yeah, from ESPN. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Not even that. Young coaches are like, I mean, Sean McVay is a young coach and he's...
But
really
Sean McVay is an exception, though. Sean McVay is the exception of a player who came up as a coach.
Just wait.
You're not going to get another Sean McVay for a while, in my opinion. He's one of a kind. Like he really is the exception as a head coach, a young head coach who can run a modern scheme and have it work with a young team. You know, it just the way that it all unfolded in LA was predestined. It had to be.
Well, we'll see what happens, but. It would make sense for Baker to be coached by a college coach, possibly, but sure. I don't know.
I guess, and then destroy their defense. But
well, they have Greg Williams still.
What, Matt? What is it?
I don't know about all this talk about destiny. I don't know about any of that. I don't want Mike McCarthy to ruin another quarterback's career. I'm gonna have to say a hard no to that one. But we'll see what they do. You won't see.
So, what with the AFC already? What about the NFC?
Yeah, NFC.
Who are you guys?
Not the Vikings. Garbage.
Dude, they look. But so they just fired John DeFilippo. Do you think that that could their offensive coordinator? John, did I pronounce that right?
John DeFilippo. I think it is.
Yeah, he just got the boot. Do you think? First of all, I'm not a fan of that decision. But do you? What do you think of? Firing a playoff team, first of all, a potential playoff team, firing an offensive coordinator that has a good track with the team, giving him the boot with 3 weeks left in the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Listen, I like the move. He has done a horrible job implementing Dalvin Cook into that offense. That guy is special. When you get him in the open field, he is one of the most explosive athletes in the league, and they've done nothing at all to give him a chance to succeed. Halfback dives, weak side tosses where there's two defensive end and an outside linebacker. There's nothing. I mean, there's no creativity there for Dalvin Cook, and he's had a rough year because of it. So I don't mind it at all.
Yeah. So the Vikings end the season hosting the Dolphins on the road against Detroit. And then at home against Chicago. But the Dolphins game is a little bit of a toss-up because, like we're talking about, with the Vikings have been shaky. The Dolphins coming off of the Miami Miracle, which...
That was awesome.
Crazy, dude.
We're going to come back to Minnesota in like 30 seconds. But what do you think the idea of having Gronk as a safety was?
That was the most idiotic.
Do you think that was Bill's way of saying, you know what? Let's just see what happens. Let's put our injury riddled tight end, who, if you sneeze on him wrong, he's going to get injured for the season. So, like, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I could, because, like, he's stumbling and bumbling down and missed Kenny and Drake by like 30 yards at the end of the freaking field. What are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm more annoyed with the prevent defense. I can't stand that defense sometimes. I mean, I understand it, but it's like you're just going to allow dink and dunk passes and let them lateral all the way down the field, all the way to the end zone. And, of course, they're going to outrun Gronk.
Not only that, but it's a slow Patriots defense against a somewhat young Miami offense. Yeah, and you can see it on in the prevent.
They should just play a deep zone.
Yeah.
Just don't play a prevent, but, you know, like a deep zone is good enough.
Is Ryan Tannehill going to throw it 80 yards to the end zone?
No,
what
he's
an
not.
Idiot.
Exactly.
Just dump off and see.
You don't have
happens.
To play tight, but, you know, give him enough space, but don't go all the way to the end zone.
Right.
You know?
Another thing is that Gronkowski actually had a really good game. He had like 8 receptions for 107 yards and a touchdown. He had a good game. But Bill Belichick is an idiot. I don't know why he did that.
There's a reason why he doesn't play defense.
Evidently. Cost him the game.
You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he didn't cost him the game. Bill Belichick did. Let's go ahead.
Yeah,
not good.
You take Devin McCourty out of the game and you put in Rob Gronkowski. What?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we can all agree, though. We all love that play. We were really happy about that play.
Oh,
that was beautiful.
It was beautiful. When the Patriots lose like that, it's beautiful.
So, trailing back after the Miami Miracle was amazing. So the Vikings Dolphins is a toss up, and pretty much any matchup that the Vikings have to end the season is a toss up because we don't really know what's going to happen for the rest of the season. We don't know how the offense is going to look. I don't know who's taking over the offense, whether it's going to be drawing a blank on their head coach is taking place or they promoted somebody else, but
it's Mike Zimmer, and it wouldn't be Mike Zimmer because he's a defensive coach.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be the wide receivers coach. I think that's usually what happens in a lot of situations.
Right on.
The thing is with the Vikings, you never know what you're going to get because you have the most inconsistent quarterback in the NFL.
True.
He can be great. He can be literal garbage.
And you don't know. We're going to tag on that in a little bit of the status of hiring adequate quarterbacks for market value. We're going to get on that in a little bit later in the pod. So, to finish up this conversation, so the Vikings are, looks like they're going to get booted out of the sixth seed. Who are some other picks? Right to tally it up right now in the NFC, the Saints are the number one at 11-2. Rams are number two at 11-2. Chicago's 9-4 at 3. Cowboys are 8-5 at 4. Seattle's 8-5 at 5. And the Vikings are 6-6 at 1. Behind the Vikings are Carolina, Philly, Washington, and Green Bay, with Tampa Bay and New York Giants hanging on by a thread. What do you guys got for the sixth seed in the NFC?
I still think it's going to be Minnesota, even though you guys are doubting them. If they just win two of the next three, they're destined to get the sixth seed if they just win. You know, but I do have a dark horse. Six seed contender.
Ooh.
Although I don't really want it, I think the Giants have a possibility of getting it.
Really?
They're playing really well right now, even though OBJ's out this week. I think there's a chance they could go and upset the Titans.
Okay.
And I mean, if they can keep this streak going, they beat the Bears a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I don't necessarily see them leapfrogging the Vikings, but I think there's a solid chance, or not a solid chance, but just a slight chance. But the Vikings are my pick right now. Yeah.
I got a bold prediction.
Say it.
The Panthers?
No, absolutely not. They play the Saints twice in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick them.
No, garbage. The team that now finally has the correct starting quarterback in. The Philadelphia Eagles with Napoleon Dynamite.
Do it again.
He's going to lead them to the playoffs. They're going to win two out of the next three games. The Vikings are going to drop. The Eagles are going to win two out of the next three, and the Vikings are going to drop two of the next three. And then I think they'll get in by one, and the Eagles will get in by one game.
Do you think, if to keep this on topic, do you think if Foles comes in and does what you think he's going to do and leads the offense, does what Wentz has been unable to do, mainly back and forth from injury, and we could blame play calling on it, but do you think if Foles comes in and leads this Philly team, and even just into the playoffs alone, which has been skeptical for most of the season, should the front office and the head coaches in Philadelphia consider putting Foles over Wentz next season?
It's kind of hard for me to say yes, but Carson Wentz is still the guy, in my opinion. He's the more talented guy, and he's the second overall pick for a reason. You can't get rid of a guy like that. You can't bench a guy like that.
Okay.
So, what's your take, Nat? Kids, great kids. There he is. Matt, what's your take?
About Nick Foles. Oh, that was a joke. I think Carson Wentz is the future. Carson Wentz is the future at quarterback. I don't think he was ever fully healthy coming back from. You okay, Zach?
I'm good. I'm good. Go on.
I don't think Carson was ever fully healthy coming back from his surgery. I think he got rushed back because they didn't want to have to start Nick Foles.
Absolutely.
So, and I think it was a mental thing where you don't actually believe you're healthy, so then you don't play up to your ability. And then they also didn't have a run game, and that's just. Their season was pretty rough. In reality, I was joking about the Eagles. I think the Vikings are going to take the sixth seed. I agree with you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to pick any team at this point. They have the edge. As long as they keep winning. I mean, they've kind of been terrible recently, but they just got to win one or two of the next games. And every other team in the NFC right now in that race has a really difficult schedule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. That's you made a good point. I mean, that's why I switched. At the end of the day, the only team that's been playing well out of any of those teams is the Giants. And I don't think they're going to win their last three games and get all the help they need to get there. I don't think that's going to happen.
If they play like they have been in the last couple of weeks, I think they have a chance, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
How many wins do they have?
They're 5-8.
They're 5-8 right now.
They do have 5 wins. Okay. I mean, they could by making it to 8-8, I guess. Yeah.
Their schedule is kind of tough, but still. Versus Titans, at Colts, versus Cowboys.
That's not easy. That's not easy.
But we don't have any faith in Mark Sanchez in the Washington Redskins.
Did you see him? Did you see him playing off the butt fumble?
No. Oh, did he?
Yeah, a reporter asked him about it, and he was really funny. He gave like a really genuine, like human response about it.
That's good.
And it was good. It was nice to see. Usually, pro athletes are very like by the book, and he had like a 1.5-minute conversation with the reporter about like. About the way that people view like athletes and stuff, and it was entertaining. It was good.
Nice. So, kind of switching books within the NFL for a second, but this idea was brought to our attention from our boy Matt. So you get quarterbacks in the NFL like Kirk Cousins from the Vikings. This offseason, he got paid a contract, 3 years, $84 million. You consider that market value for quarterback, but still, it's a lot. Is that right? That contract?
Yes.
80, okay, that's what 3 years, I thought.
All fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed, $84 million. You're getting mediocre. If we're being honest, mediocre quarterbacks who have proven to be mediocre. That maybe they get the job done, but not top tier quarterbacks getting paid. Market value, or Case Keenum is another quarterback. I'm not sure what his contract is, but it's another example of this. Matt.
Case Keenum, he has $18 million a year over 2 years.
Okay. So these mediocre quarterbacks getting big time contracts. Matt, what's your idea or philosophy behind this? What are some of your thoughts on these quarterbacks?
All right, let me read you guys some names, right?
Okay.
These are, I'm going to exclude Aaron Rodgers from this list, but these are all the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL other than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
All right. You got Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, which is, I'm not even going to touch that.
We did that for episode one. We're not doing it again.
You have, and then you have guys like Cam Newton, but then you also have guys like Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins that trail right behind them. Right. And it's like, the majority of these guys, they need so much help to win games. I can argue, you can make a great argument that like Dak Prescott needs less help to win than all these other quarterbacks I just mentioned. The only time Matt Ryan ever even scratched being like a playoff successful quarterback was when he had like the number two defense in the NFL with Julio Jones, and he had a bunch of awesome weapons around him a couple years ago. But I mean, these guys, they need so much help around them to win. And when you pay them $30 million, it doesn't work.
How do they get the help in that way? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't win that way. There's no way. Matt Stafford is a perfect example of this, where the Lions have never been able to actually have a great team because he's getting paid over $30 million a year. And he's good, but he's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. You know, you can't – he needs a lot more help than that. And I think guys like Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, you see guys like who's another young guy? I don't know.
A big contract?
No, I think we get like small contracts. You got like Jared Goff, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Dak Prescott, you got all these young guys, and then Russell Wilson until very recently. But yeah, I mean, that's the way to build a team. You get a young guy and you go with him, because at the end of the day, Dak Prescott doesn't give you any less production than Kirk Cousins. And you're paying Kirk Cousins $30 million and you're playing Dak Prescott $3 million. So it just doesn't make sense to pay these guys this much money.
Yeah, it's a hard topic because it's like the most important position on a football team is the quarterback, and you want to pay him the most out of anybody on the team. But sometimes it seems like it's a little overboard for these market value, like for mediocre quarterbacks, you know? Like you're saying, Kirk Cousins doesn't deserve how many million a year? Like,
I mean, 20, I think average it's 28 million when you average it.
Crazy. And then running backs aren't getting paid enough. They're getting an average of what, 5-6 million a year?
Yeah.
Even the good ones get like 8-9.
And they can only make good money for like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So you got guys like Le'Veon Bell who sit out, and it's hard to fault him for that because he only has like one big contract left. So like, he's got to get paid.
Right.
Where's he gonna go? Where's he gonna go realistically? Miami? Like, he's not gonna win there, but I mean, he needs to make money.
He can go to Indy. Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, that's true.
Andrew Luck's got a lot of cap room.
Yeah. Andrew Luck has a big contract, but it's not
as. He wants to go there too.
That's a good choice. Yeah. They have money. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But it's like quarterbacks deserve to get paid what they want to get paid if they earn it, you know. But if you already have a ton of money, then it's, I mean, just take less money and help get guys around you to help you have a championship team.
I think that's why
it's hard to blame them in a way. Too.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to blame them for getting their money. You can't. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they're willing to be mediocre to make money.
Right.
That's the reality of it. Dak Prescott, he's going to take, you know, a lot lower than he can make on the free market. Mm-hmm. He's gonna end up taking $18 to $20 million, so they can end up signing more guys to that team, and the Cowboys are gonna be a good team for years to come because of it.
Kirk Cousins actually took less to go to Minnesota than he did. Than the Jets offered him a lot more money than Minnesota did, and he still took less. But they're still paying him a buttload of money.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets.
So, I don't know. It's a tough topic.
Yeah, nobody. Who wants to go to the Jets? Let's be honest.
Nobody.
Sanchez.
Homie never wants to go back to that city.
No, never. Not again.
All right. Let's flip boats for a second. We can move on to some basketball talk. We got a little bit of coverage to talk about. Not a lot of notes, but a lot of coverage.
I want
to
talk about what happened. I think it was last night. Yeah, I think it was last night, or maybe it was 2 nights ago. Where that James Harden put up 50, last night the Rockets beat the Lakers.
I didn't know he put up 50.
Yeah,
I knew he jammed all over JaVale McGee.
Oh, it was so nasty.
That poor guy.
Oof. Heck oof. Yeah,
Shaq,
man.
The full MVP.
Heck yeah, JaVale's my boy. I don't know, man. It's tough. The Rockets aren't very good, but when James Harden puts up 50, a 50 piece, it's like, all right. You deserve to win that game.
We've talked about this a lot, about the Rockets and how they literally have no defense, because all their games, like last night's score, 126 to 111 over LA. LA's starting to come to form too, so that was a good win for Houston.
Yeah.
But every game they need to rely on somebody, whether it's Chris Paul, who's had a few good games recently, or James Harden. If they're not balling, they're probably not going to win. They might put up some points, but they're also allowing a lot of points. So yeah, that's a struggle for this team. You know, I don't know what their record is right now, but
they're actually the third worst team in the Western Conference.
God, the West is still a mess.
Yeah, and the number one team is still the Nuggets.
Nice.
Nuggets looking good, Chris.
They had a little slip up after I believe it was a 6-game win streak. They lost back to back games against the Hornets and the Hawks. But they bounced back with a win recently. And they face the Thunder tonight in a very big game.
Ooh, that's a big game.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. And so right now the Nuggets and the Warriors are tied atop the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City is a half game behind us.
You know, I gotta admit, man, I'm wrong about the Oklahoma City Thunder, dude. I'm wrong about Russell Westbrook. Every time they get a chance to, I rail on these guys. And I mean, come on, dude. They're good. They're a good team. They're a great team.
It's crazy
how tight the West is. From 1 to 14, it's separated by 5.5 games.
It's insane, dude.
Well, yeah. The big thing is that in the West, you have a lot of like role players, and they're really stepping up this year. Yeah. You know, like Lou Williams is knocking it out of the park over in Los Angeles with the Clippers. Absolutely. You got Jeremy Grant with the Thunder. He's playing fantastic basketball right now. He's playing amazing defense. He's shooting the ball. He's great. I mean, he's a good piece, but he's really playing well without Andre Roberson over there. Mm-hmm. You know, you got guys like that stepping up, and it's making for an interesting year, although the Warriors are still going to dominate when we get to the playoffs. But it's been interesting in the regular season.
The Nuggets just got the biggest X factor in the West a couple days ago. Swaggy P.
You know what's funny? I saw that on Instagram, and I said, "Oh, did Golden State trade Swaggy?" I didn't know that.
I didn't even know
he got released. I didn't know he was still in the NBA. Frankly,
he get cut.
I was like, "When did this happen?"
Was he cut like in the beginning of the season?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But I saw that. I was like, "What in the world?" But I guess I'll take it. We need some more depth with all the injuries we have. So
the West is going to be interesting as the season continues to go on.
Eighth seed is the Kings. Nice. They're actually pretty good.
The Spurs are out of it right now too.
The Spurs suck.
Blazers, Spurs, Pelicans, Jazz, Rockets, and T-Wolves are all out right now.
The Kings are good, man. That's interesting.
They are good. They're young. They're fun. They've got a really good offense right now.
They do.
Their defense.
What did the Rockets? What was their record last year? The Rockets.
Outrageous.
Didn't they have a better record than Golden State? Weren't they the one seed?
They did.
Yeah, for sure.
Rockets were 65-17.
So
Golden State was 58-24. So the Rockets almost have as many losses as last year.
I was gonna say you got to start thinking like, so with the East, with the Eastern Conference, you get a lot of teams in there that. Most of the top seeds are at 10 losses, 9 losses, 13 losses. So they're at a space right now where they have the ability to get on a big streak, maybe after the All-Star break, and make a good playoff run. Right. The West is so stacked right now that maybe like a confident Houston fan might be thinking, oh, it's okay. We can take a few more losses. Maybe the next month or so could still be a little rough. After football season ends in February when the All-Star game is around, we're going to make a push. But they might still be out of the 8th seed, maybe like – it could be 5 or 6 games out with a team like the Kings or the Trailblazers. The Mavericks have been looking really good.
Luka Doncic, he's been killing.
You get teams like that. The Lakers are rolling. The Clippers are rolling. The Rockets might be digging themselves into a deep hole right now. Of the Pelicans too, with teams like that, that it might just get so deep in the season where it's like, crap, we might not even make the 9 or 10 seed. That's how deep we are right now. So the West is really shaping up to be like survival of the fittest this year of teams kind of coming out of nowhere that we didn't expect to be there. But going back on Dallas, so it's a team that like I knew Luka was going to be good. I didn't know he was going to be the reason this team was going to be good. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
I didn't even think he was going to be that good. I was like, he'll be okay. But like Luka Doncic, he's not.
He looked great in preseason. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's preseason. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. But then like he just kept being good.
He's a freak, man. Yeah. Athletically, he can shoot, he can pass, he can do everything. And he's clutch. He's really clutch.
Him and Harrison Barnes are both averaging over 17 points a game. And they're just – and they're not even like – DeAndre Jordan has been killing it. J.J. Brown. Yeah. It's been ridiculous. DSJ, they've all been – it's been ridiculous, dude. But it just goes to show you, like, the West is – I feel like this could be our topic every single week. But the West is ridiculous.
Just highlight a different team. Harrison Barnes is one of those guys. I think he's going to he's always like perennially underrated. Every year he plays like pretty well and nobody ever talks about him. He's kind of like Chandler Parsons when Chandler's healthy. When Chandler Parsons is healthy, he's like a solid player. I mean, the past couple of years he's never been healthy. He's consistently injured. Right. But yeah, Harrison Barnes is good, man. I mean, him and DJ have really DJ is shooting like 80% from the free throw line. Harrison Barnes is nailing three-pointers. They're a good team.
Has Dirk played at all this year?
He played last night.
Did he? Okay. I haven't even heard his name all year.
His 21st year with the Dallas Mavericks.
That's unbelievable.
NBA record. 21 years.
How long has Vince Carter been in the league for? Is it also 21 years?
He's like 41 years old or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, over that. But he's been with like five different teams.
So he's still a freak athlete. It's unreal.
Did you see a couple weeks ago he tried to dunk on somebody? And he, like, didn't even get close to it. And he was just like, eh.
He said that this is, like, his retirement tour. He's just like, let's just see what happens. Let me try this.
Him and D-Wade.
Shoot from the logo. If I make it, great. If I miss it, whatever.
You guys see the moment with D-Wade and LeBron at the end of the game the other day?
That was
the
pretty Heat cool. Lakers.
That was pretty neat. They exchanged jerseys. And they had a moment after the game.
No, I'm not bitter. I loved it. I can't even explain to you.
Two of his teams, man.
You don't see that very often between superstars like that.
Matt's East Coast and West Coast team just going at it.
My team and then my meme team.
Not even your West Coast team. Get out of here.
My West Coast players, dude. LeBron and JaVale McGee. There it is.
Lance Stevenson.
His dogs. Hey, when is it too early to start proclaiming a team as a playoff lock?
Never.
So the Raptors are a playoff lock then?
Absolutely.
The Raptors are amazing.
They look amazing without Kawhi on the court. It's ridiculous.
They look amazing with Kawhi on the court. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying they look amazing, but even when he's not on the court, they look incredible. Like I forgot who they're playing, but it was a couple days ago, and I'm like, oh man, Kawhi must be killing it because they've got – He was on the bench. Like, he wasn't even playing.
The Warriors by, like, 20 points with no Kawhi.
That's right. It was the Warriors. Yeah. God, they look so good.
But listen, man.
I have an interesting question, though. This is after the season. I think because the Kawhi's contract is expiring after this year, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has the performance of the Raptors this year and the continued performance of them, does it convince him to stay? I think it does. For how long, I don't know.
Let's see what happens in the playoffs.
I don't know if he wants to go to a bigger market team, but I don't know. He seems like more of a low-key kind of guy. Like, he'd rather be in a smaller market. I don't know.
He doesn't care about markets.
I don't think. Yeah.
He doesn't care about that.
He cares about winning, and they're winning right now.
Yeah, it depends on what they do, man. If they can get to the finals, if they can challenge Golden State, and if one of the big guys on Golden State leaves, like KD, I think he'll stay. Yeah, but if you know what I mean? If he can get out of the East and nobody from Golden State leaves, I think he may just be like, I'm going to LA. Like, I want to win. Like,
as much as he said, I don't like the big market, and I don't want to be on a super team, I can see that happening too. Like,
he wants to win.
Yeah,
I mean, he is. You know what I mean?
So we're going to introduce a few segments this week, and I want to start with one called Weekly Locks. Matt, so basically the premise of this segment is we make predictions on things that we think are going to happen in the upcoming 7 days between now and the next podcast. It could be entertainment, sports, scores, stats, things non-sports related, just things that you think are going to happen in the world or in the realm of sports or outside the realm of sports. Matt, what's your weekly lock this week?
Well, I already kind of blew my load on that one.
We'll go ahead and say it again.
Listen, man, my weekly lock is that Dak Prescott is going to outplay Andrew Luck, and the Dallas Cowboys will beat Indianapolis. That's my lock.
It's yeah. That makes sense.
When it matters most, Andrew Luck will always let you down. That's what he does. That's what he does, everybody. Spoiler alert.
I really want to argue that, but I can't because it's true.
Yeah.
Chris, you got any locks this week?
Let's see here. Not any that come to mind. I think it's going to be a really good NFL week. We got really tight games. We got really good games with the Patriots and Steelers on Sunday, the Eagles and the Rams. We got some really pivotal matchups coming up. I don't really have a lock, but I'm more looking forward to seeing how the race in the NFL playoffs comes about with this week. I think it's going to be one of the more pivotal weeks coming up. So, what do you think, Zach?
So this is pushing away from sports for a second, but I don't know how many of you mainstream tweeters were on Twitter last night, but Kanye West had a field day. A Twitter tirade, if you want to call it. Homeboy went off on Drizzy Drake, who's actually my dog. I love Drake. But he had some interesting things to say about the Canadian superhero. I don't even know where to start. Okay, here's one. He tweeted. I can't even put this chronologically because there were just so many. Like, it was a lot. My feed was blowing up last night. So, Drake, if anything happens to me or anyone from my family, you were the first suspect, so cut the tough talk. This relates to Drake blasting Kanye on a song he was featured on. I believe it was a Travis Scott song. So my lock this week, maybe it won't happen in this week, but I really don't want to talk about it next week, so I'm going to say it this week. Drake's diss song on Kanye is coming. I know you all out there are going to sit here and be like, no, Kanye is his idol, dog. Like, he looks up to him. Do we know, like, think about who we're talking about right now. This is Drake, whatever his last name is. This is Drake, guys. He's known for crap like this. Like, I mean, him and Pusha T were at it for years, and like, I a long time. But I was honestly really, it was fun for a while last night, but then it reached the point where it's like it was probably like around the end of the Chiefs and Chargers game. It's like, all right, he's done. So like, all the gifts were coming out of like, oh, like Kanye's done. Like, he puts his gun down, cool, and then he just kept going. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes of that, but my lock this week is Drake's diss track is coming, and I'm really excited for it because I love Drake. But at the same time, everything that Kanye said was pretty accurate. So, you know, mainstream rap.
Hey Chris, did you understand a word that Zach just said?
No, I didn't.
Same here.
Alright, great. Well,
when I hear about Drake, I think about Drake's cakes.
Shut up.
No one
onto the podcast.
No one says no to the duck.
Yeah.
Hey, if you didn't understand anything I said right there, then you're gonna love this next segment. This is a segment that we started last week, but we didn't title it. We're titling it this week. It's called Biased by Us. Basically, as far as I know, I'm the only contributor to this segment, and that makes me sad. But unless Matt, which I think I can pull it out of him, wants to contribute, I'm going to start with something. It's pretty self-explanatory. I've got some biased thoughts that I believe are truth. The Boston Celtics are still the threat in the East. They're the number one team in the Eastern Conference, and I want to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Boston still has more depth on their roster. Their stars are just as capable of taking over a game. Kyrie Irving has proven he can go toe-to-toe with the best players in the league, and until he fails to come up big in the playoffs, I would not doubt his ability to dominate a series. So you can't count out the Celtics on that level. Going deeper, Jason Tatum, the future, Gordon Hayward, and Jaylen Brown, Juice, are three guys, in addition to Irving, who are thirsty for a chance to make waves in the playoffs. They will get their chance to shine at some point. And when that happens, the Boston Celtics are not going to disappoint. Thoughts?
You're banned from talking basketball. I really Listen. I don't like this segment at all.
I like it.
The Celtics are behind the Pacers in the East. Listen, man, when we get to the playoffs, and if they are playing at that level, then okay. But they're not. They're just not right now. And you can say it all you want, but they're not there.
You know, going back to the Lox, it's not an early lock.
And they don't. And they don't have the team chemistry that teams like the Warriors have proven. So even if the Warriors go on a bad stretch, you know they're going to be amazing because they have five All-Stars that have played together forever. You know, and the Celtics haven't proven any of this. You know, you can say all this stuff, but they haven't done it all together. And until they do in the playoffs, I'm not going to believe it. Oh, they got to show me. They got to show me first. The Raptors are showing me. And the Celtics seem to do the same.
We're coming, dog. We're coming. And right now we're on a 7-game win streak. No other team in the NBA has as long of a win streak as us. We're playing the Hawks tonight, so it's going to be another win. That's 8. We got Detroit tomorrow night. So, okay, I'll say this. Our schedule is super easy right now.
Yeah, it is.
But we've got Milwaukee next Friday. We've got the Sixers on Christmas Day. The Rockets 2 days later. Next month, we play the Raptors. This is a prove it time. We got Dallas on our schedule. The Pacers for next month, I'm saying. Golden State next month. This is going to be a prove it month in January for the Celtics. I believe they're going to continue to prove the haters wrong, aka Matt Irwin. And this is our season. I predicted it in the preseason. I'm gonna say it every week if I have to. Boston and Golden State, 7 games. It's happening. Be mad. You're allowed to be mad.
Let me change something here. I'm not a Boston hater. I'm a Zach Ferrer hater.
I know you
that's
are.
That's the difference.
But
I'm also
that's okay,
a Kyrie.
Though, Matt.
I'm also a Kyrie Irving hater because I think he's the most overrated player I've ever seen in my generation.
Oh, he's the best.
I don't.
Socks, kid.
I don't
get
like
that out of the camera.
Hey, listen.
But yeah, when we were
talking about our six seeds predictions, I skipped out in the NFC for a reason.
This is why I was waiting.
I don't even know if I want to hear this.
This is why I didn't freak out, just to let everybody know, when Zach brought up the Celtics, because I was saving it.
Please just silence your cell phones. Hold your applause. The Green Bay Packers will make the playoffs as the sixth seed. I'm not going to sit here and give you reasoning. All right, let me say this. I'm not going to sit here and give you statistical reasoning for why we're going to do it, frankly, because I can't back it up.
Nope.
But two words and 5 items on the to-do list. Green Bay needs to win out. We've got at Chicago at 1 o'clock this week. That's going to be tough. I'll say that. We've got at the Jets. That's a win. We're home against Detroit. That's a win. The Vikings need to lose 2 out of their next 3. As we talked about earlier, that's doable. The Vikings can lose 2 out of their next 3. The Panthers, the Redskins, and the Eagles all need to lose not 3, not 2, but 1 game. That's it. Panthers are definitely going to lose at least once, probably twice to the Saints. Redskins got the Jags, Titans, and Redskins. Wow, Eagles. Redskins got the Jags, Titans, and Eagles. Eagles have the Rams, Texans, and Redskins. They all can lose at least 1 game.
Even if they tie with the Vikings, though, the Vikings have the tiebreaker.
Shut your... Wait, what? No, the Vikings...
They beat them.
We tied.
Yeah, and the Vikings also beat them.
No, but if we'd have a higher record than the Vikings if they lose 2.
Oh, well, I'm saying if they do tie up. Then.
Yes, the Vikings. But that's why the Vikings have to lose 2. The two words for why this is going to happen. Aaron Rodgers. If you want, we can close the show with that. I think
I'm gonna, I'm gonna go. Okay. All right. So the Packers just lost to the embarrassing Arizona Cardinals.
Sure.
Arguably
the worst team
in the whole NFL this year. And then you said the Jets and you said the Lions are automatic wins. They just got beat by the Cardinals, my guy.
With McCarthy at the helm. We dominated last week against Atlanta.
The team has no talent. It doesn't matter. I don't care who's at the helm. They got to break everything down, man. All they have is Aaron Rodgers and a couple of decent rookie wide receivers. That's all they got, man. They don't have anything.
They have Jimmy Graham, who hasn't decided to do anything all year.
It's coming.
But
maybe they'll use him better once McCarthy's gone. I will give you that. But I don't know. I think sitting here and saying the Jets and the Lions are automatic wins, when that team, you could literally beat the Lions right now and be like, we play the Packers. That's an automatic win. You could literally say that. The Lions are a better football team than the Packers.
I think they're even. They're more towards the even mark.
The arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know why you're saying this. He's not.
I think that's enough. He's to not. Prove the point that they can beat the Lions and the Jets.
He's not.
Of course, he's one of the best ones, but not
he's
this year.
He's proven it. He has proven it over the years that he's one of the best.
Not this year, though. Not right now.
Because he... Oh.
You said Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks right now. He's not one of the best quarterbacks right now.
Who's the best quarterback right now?
There are
Patrick Mahomes.
Better quarterbacks in the NFL right now than Aaron Rodgers.
I said one of the best. I didn't say the best.
Okay. So we got Patrick Mahomes. We got Drew Brees. We got Jared Goff. We got, let's see. He had one bad. Jared Goff had one bad game, but every single game other than that, he's played great. And then obviously Tom Brady.
Hold on. Because Drew Brees has been one of the reasons the Saints have been costing games recently. I just want to say that. He's been playing like trash.
Who?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees? Him?
What?
It's the offensive line.
He's listen.
They're not giving him any time.
But I'm just saying.
He's an old man who can't move when he has like 2 seconds to throw the football. What do you want him to do?
So we can't put him at the top of the list when Rodgers has mobility.
He's had a better years.
I think Matt has broken his mic.
That was me.
Matt
got so mad that he like listen. This is great. I'm gonna take advantage of this opportunity. Yeah, we can't hear him. Perfect. Aaron Rodgers is going.
To, he's so to vividly Packers. Explain, he's trying to
That's
yell.
Right. You're shut not... down, Mike. Matt, your mic got shut down because of how the blasphemy you were preaching over here. Aaron Rodgers is going to lead the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs. I love that he can't talk right now.
He's attempting, but it's failing.
God, this is beautiful. This is everything that I needed to happen. Matt, anything you want to end with? Oh, that's right. You can't. So.
There he is. He's back.
Hello.
Hi.
I can't deal with you, Zach. I cannot deal with you. I'm not going to get to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is not one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And you know what even goes beyond numbers? When you play the quarterback position, you can boil it down to like 10 plays in the year. If you miss all of those 10 plays, it doesn't matter how you've done all the other times, because as the quarterback, you have to make that play in the fourth quarter when it matters. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. But when Dak has needed to make plays in the fourth quarter and in overtime this year, he's made the plays. He's ran for the first downs. He's thrown the balls over the top, and he's hit his receivers. Aaron Rodgers has overthrown his receivers, and he's underthrown his receivers and gotten sacked. And that's why the Packers aren't going to make the playoffs, and teams like the Cowboys, who have a far worse quarterback, are going to make it.
Cowboys are going to go far. I'm excited to see them in the playoffs. I hope so, at least.
They're a good football team.
But you know what, though? This is why I can't be a blogger who talks about his team. Because, frankly, I'm full of shit. So, it's been real, guys.
That's truth.
It's been real. Do you, Matt, Chris, you got anything else to add other than the fact that...
Yeah, the Boston Celtics are going to be the first team eliminated from the playoffs this year. Goodbye.
Mic drop. Hey, here's a mic drop. We are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.